Let's pick up with our thought. And we're in 1 Timothy 3:16. And we've been spent a long time yesterday explaining what a mystery is. And, you know, there's wasn't any mysteries in the Old Testament, but they were. You just have to look for it. And they were called secrets. And in Deuteronomy 29:29, I had you turn it in 1 Timothy, but you looked at these yesterday. Deuteronomy 29:29, this is Moses talking to the children of Israel, and his last speech, Deuteronomy is his last speech to the children of Israel. And it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. So he says, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So we went over a lot of scriptures talking about the secret things yesterday. And another one we discussed was in Jeremiah 33:3. Like Deuteronomy 29:29, if you're dyslexic, you'll still get there. And same thing with Jeremiah 33:3. It says there, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, things you knowest not are mysteries or secrets, right? So, you know, there's some things we want to know. And the Lord said, if you call unto me, I'll answer thee and show you thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's one of the reasons we're studying what we're studying today in 1 Timothy 3:16. When we were talking about Nebuchadnezzar yesterday in Daniel 2, he had that dream that he couldn't remember what the dream was, but he wanted somebody to tell him what the dream was and what the interpretation of it was. That's the kind of guy you want in charge, isn't it? Can't remember anything, but he wants you to tell him what it was he dreamed about. Well, Daniel believed that the Lord would reveal it to him, and he did. We find in Daniel 2, the word secret was found seven times. The word secret was found seven times in the book of Daniel. Six of those times are in Daniel 2. Also, the word secrets is found three times in Daniel 2. And back from yesterday in Daniel 2:18, we read that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. This is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men, in verse 19, Daniel 2, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. In Daniel 2:22, we know that it's the Lord. It says he revealeth the deep and secret things. And in Daniel 2:27, we read that Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But Daniel said in Daniel 2:28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, to show us things, to reveal things to us. And, you know, you read the scripture and sometimes it's like, what am I reading here? What's this all about? Ask the Lord. He's the one that reveals the deep secret things. Daniel 2:29, it's another place we read that word, secrets. It says, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets make it known to thee what cometh to pass. In verse 30, he says, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. In other words, it was God who caused this secret to be made known. But for those their sakes shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. And then in Daniel 2:47, we concluded with, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Okay, so now you've had time to get to 1 Timothy 3:16. This is an outstanding verse, and it's got 35 words in it. Anybody remember what the number 35 has to do with? Hope. I do have some more numbers things if anybody didn't get one, I can give you one. Okay, I'll see till you get one. Remember we talked about the Hope Diamond a little bit yesterday? Brother Hill used to talk about the Hope Diamond all the time. He'd been out to see the Hope Diamond in the Smithsonian Institute. Sue and I have seen its big old diamond. We thought it was maybe priceless, but they got a value on it of $350 million. If any of you want to buy it from the Smithsonian Institute, we have our own treasure here, this Hope Diamond valued scripture right here in 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So we've talked yesterday how we have a 9-word introduction to 6 major points in this verse. And we talked yesterday about the first one, that God was manifest in the flesh. We showed how that was and proved that point. If you have a cell phone, which I think everybody does, put it on the silent mode. I don't think that's going to be a problem, though. Okay. So the second significant fact here this morning that we'll talk about to start with, God was justified in the Spirit. And is speaking of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God, who was justified in the Spirit. Did any of you write down your 6 names for Jesus? You can probably come up with about 200 of them. Okay, well, we just give you about 6 right there. The word justified, let's define it. And many of us grew up with the teaching of Brother Hill. And every time we got to the word justified or justification, he would say, it means just as if I'd never sinned. That's how I remember it. Justified, just as if I never sinned. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're informed that Christ, our Lord and Savior, knew no sin, never did know any sin. 1 Peter 2:22, this is Peter writing, 1 Peter 2:22. I'll slow down if some of you are trying to turn there. But we find in there is explained to us that Jesus did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. While you're back there in that part of your Bible, go back to 1 John chapter 3. John wrote a lot of things about Jesus. We pointed that out yesterday. After he thought about it for most of his life, because he was with him for 3.5 years, and he finally was able to write some of it down. And he wrote in 1 John 3:5, this about Christ Jesus. He says, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." The Greek word that's translated justified in our text of 1 Timothy 3:16, it's a verb. And that, you know, I don't want to get hung up on learning Greek or knowing the Greek words or anything, but we do have that function available to us in our studies. And that Greek word is dikaio. It's number 1344 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it means, this is justified, it means to declare, pronounce, one to be just or righteous. Now, turn to this scripture, Romans 8:33. I'll read a phrase in that verse for you from, in a second. Romans 8:33, this is another use of the word dikaio. Number 1344 in your Strong's Greek Concordance, Romans 8:33, we read, "It is God that justifieth." It is God that dikaio, in other words. Okay, now, go to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. And there's a lot of things in the 89 chapters of the gospel record that are recorded that Jesus did in his life here on earth. But not all 89 chapters or not all 4 gospel records record the same thing or the same event usually, but sometimes they're there. And we want to read where Christ was justified in the Spirit. And the Spirit here means the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Ghost. And it's unusual that all 4 Gospels record that the Spirit descended from heaven like a dove upon him who knew no sin, at the time that John the Baptist baptized him. We had you turn to Matthew 3. We'll read in verse 13, starting there. Matthew writes, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John," that's John the Baptist, "to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, go to Mark, the 1st chapter. We're going to read this event in all 4 gospel records. 1st chapter of Mark records this event like this, starting in verse 9. "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then go to Luke, the third chapter. We read the same event again. These gospel writers record the same thing, the same event. They say basically the same thing if you just compare the notes. Luke 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now go to John, the first chapter, the Gospel of John. John wrote 5 books of the New Testament. First one was the Gospel of John. John 1, 29. It says, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. In 1 Corinthians 15:3, we'll go there and just read a part of it, and then we'll go to Romans 6. Truly, Christ was justified in the Spirit. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15:3, if you read 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, you really get the whole gospel story in about 2 verses there. But this part of 1 Corinthians 15:3 tells us how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And now in Romans 6, verse 7, I want you to turn there, but I'm going to read it to you from the literal translation. The literal translation from Greek to English says, For the one, having died, has been justified from sin. And so, justified, just as if I'd never sinned, that's what it said. Twice in Scripture, we read of Jesus called the Just One, just, capitalized, one, the one being capitalized. You find that in Acts 7:52, that was in Stephen's sermon, who Saul of Tarsus heard him preach that sermon. And then later on, Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the Apostle Paul, he repeats that phrase in Acts 22:14, calling Jesus the Just One. It speaks to him, Jesus Christ, who was justified in the Spirit. I said in our lesson yesterday, and this is true in all 6 points that we're talking about there, in 1 Timothy 3:16, we're talking about this second point, that God was justified in the Spirit, speaking of Jesus. And all these things in this great mystery of godliness includes us in all 6 points. So how does the fact that Jesus Christ was justified in the Spirit, how does that include us? Turn to Romans, the 3rd chapter, and we'll answer that question. And there's many scriptures that further answer this question, but we'll start there in Romans 3 for simplicity's sake. This seems like a complicated subject, but there are, this simplicity in scripture, we kind of try to make it simple. Romans 3:23, we read this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read in verse 24, being justified, there's that word again, justified, just as if I'd never sinned, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That word propitiation means the means by which sin is covered. To be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, here's another one for you, and then we'll move on. Acts 13, 38 and 39. In Acts 13, from about verse 16 to about verse 40 there, we find the Apostle Paul preaching a sermon to those in Antioch and Poseidon. And there were a lot of Gentiles present there, but it was preached in a synagogue. And it's the first recorded sermon that we have of the Apostle Paul and what was said. And in Acts 13, 38 and 39, it says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man Christ Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Note this, and by him all that believe are justified, just as if they'd never sinned, from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. So that's how that includes us. This next one in 1 Timothy 3:16 is that God was seen of angels. We'll spend a little time here. Again, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Exceeding large is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We've talked about that. Justified in the spirit. We just talked about that. Seen of angels. We're going to talk about that. Preaching to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So this third significant fact that Paul points out here concerning the mystery of godliness is that while on earth, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, that is God with us, was seen of angels. turn to Colossians, the 1st chapter. And what do we call this book? Bible, the Word of God, our training manual, whatever you want to call it. It's what it is. And so we learn some things by looking at these scriptures. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. It says, for by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We talked about that rather extensively in last year's camp. So what we learn here, and what you should see here for today's study, is that he made the angels. And you don't have to turn here, but I'll tell you what it says in Hebrews 12:22, that in heaven there is an innumerable company of angels. How many is innumerable? Yeah, a lot. Okay. Go to Luke 1. A couple thousand years ago in Luke 1, in verses 26 through 35, I'm sure all that are here are familiar with this story. We find there was an angel named Gabriel. He was sent from God to Nazareth unto a virgin girl named Mary. And angel Gabriel told Mary that she was highly favored of the Lord, and that the Holy Ghost shall cause her to conceive a son called Jesus. You can read that story in Luke 1, 26 through 35. In Matthew, I want you to stay there in Luke. In Matthew 1, 20, the angel of the Lord, it didn't say what his name was, but it could have been Gabriel again. The angel of the Lord told Joseph in a dream, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So we find for the next 9 months, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was hidden from view. He was hidden in the womb of Mary. This innumerable company of angels in heaven, they couldn't see him. Could they? Then in Luke 2, in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, Christ, our Lord and Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, was born in a barn. That's child abuse. In today's terminology, don't you think? Yeah, he was born in a barn, of all places. He was placed in a lowly manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now listen to this. Think about this. As he cried for the first time, manifest in the flesh, the angels heard a familiar voice they hadn't seen or heard for 9 months. It was a tiny voice, but it sounded familiar. And they recognized that voice that they hadn't heard for 9 months. And then we read this in Luke 2, how God manifest in the flesh and was seen of angels. It says here in Luke 2 that there were also shepherds who were in the same country watching over their flocks by night. They had sheep. Probably the sheep were descendants of David's sheep that he'd watched decades and centuries prior. And they were watching their flocks by night. The very same night Jesus was born, we read in Luke 2:9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them," these lowly shepherds, "and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." And guess what? They were sore afraid. Any of you ever stayed up all night outside watching sheep? I don't think so. Any of you been up all night outside? What do you see? Lots of things, don't you? I remember one month, in order to get a good schedule where I could be home more often, I did night flights back and forth from Houston to Sacramento, California. We'd leave about dark. We'd land in Sacramento at midnight, take off at 1 o'clock, go back to Houston, arrive about sunrise or just before. So we're out there flying with all the freight airlines, Federal Express and DHL and all of them, UPS. And they're the ones that are out flying at night, except for a few goofy airline pilots who were taking people across the country in the middle of the night. In one night, we were always out in the middle of Utah, probably. On the radio comes in, "Whoa, did you see that?" Everybody's going, "Who was that?" "Oh, this is so-and-so. Did you just see that? What did you see?" He says, "Well, it was a something going across the sky here." And one of the UPS pilots says, "We see that stuff every night." That was the end of the conversation. Oh, everybody's out looking like, I mean, you could see satellites going over. You look, you got to do something. You look for satellites flying over. You get a good view of the stars from that high up at night. There's a lot more of them than you see looking up in Denver, let's say. Well, they were sore afraid, these shepherds. At night, when the glory of the Lord shone around about them, in verse 10 of Luke 2, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." There's some more names for you. "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Why were these angels saying this? They couldn't help themselves. One of the reasons was because they got to glimpse for the first time in 9 months our Savior, Christ the Lord, now manifest in the flesh. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven," and how many of the angels do you think snuck a peek? An innumerable company of them, I'm thinking they all did. "When the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Hey, let us now go even unto Bethlehem." Hey's my translation, okay? "And see this thing which shall come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." So he was seen of angels right off the bat. Next, in Matthew 4, we read in Matthew 4:11, the man, Christ Jesus, he was grown up. He was seen of angels after he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. And in Matthew 4:11, we read, after this was over, "The devil leaveth him, and behold," what? "Angels came and ministered unto him." Mark 1:13, it states about this same event like this. Mark, he's a little more concise, uses less words to write his gospel than Matthew or Luke or John did. Mark 1:13, we read this. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. The word ministered is found in both of these verses that we just read, Matthew 4:11 and Mark 1:13, is the same word ministered is found 37 times in Scripture. Look at your cheat sheet. What's the number 37 again? Word of God is who? It's the Word of God. Who is Jesus? Hebrews 1:14 informs us that angels are ministering spirits. And I think these two verses we just read also point that out. You know, it's time for our get rid of deep vein thrombosis for about a minute or so. Let's stand up and shake our legs and our arms and say hi to the person standing next to you.
Do you want one of these to stand on?
Huh? No, that's okay. The lighting isn't that great up here, so. Okay, we'll take a break in about 20 minutes, probably. We'll finish this section here. It does good to move around just a little bit. They tell you you should move around just a little bit. You don't have to leave, but I mean, you know. Turn to Luke 22 when you get back in your seat. In Luke 22, this was on the night Jesus was betrayed, just a few short hours before he was crucified. And while he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, you read in Luke 22, verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. We just informed you in Hebrews 1:14 that angels are ministering spirits. And here in Luke 22:43, this angel strengthened our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These strengthening words spoken to Christ by these angels were truly heavenly words sent from God by this ministering spirit. He was seen of angels. And So we if shown here by scriptures that yes, indeed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was seen of angels as a man manifested in the flesh while here on earth. And also he knew that he was always surrounded by angels, just like he was in heaven. Go to Matthew 26, verse 53. In Jesus there, this is the same night, he told Peter, as Jesus was being arrested in Matthew 26, 53, he says to Peter, "Peter, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" I looked this up. How much is a legion? A legion in that day would have been 6,826 angels. 12 legions of angels would be 81,912. It says more than 12 legions of angels. Now, for your reference, according to 2 Kings 19:35 and Isaiah 37:36, one angel of the Lord slew 185,000 in one night. That's one angel. That wasn't 12 legions of angels. That was one angel. Now do the math. More than 12 legions of angels could wipe out the population of the earth overnight. You think that was God's plan ever? No, it never was God's plan. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Jesus himself said in Matthew 18:11, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." It was never his intention to wipe out the population of the earth. In Luke 9:56, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." It was never his intention to wipe out the population of the earth. In Luke 19:10, we again read, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." So we conclude that even though he could have called more than 12 legions of angels to help him, and if you go look at John 18:6, when they went to arrest him and they asked him if he was the Savior, he said, "I am," and they all fell back. He had the power to do that. He had the power to knock all his opponents backwards off their feet with his spoken word. It was still Jesus' intention to freely give himself for our sins. Have you ever thought about it? I mean, just stop and think about it. Ponder that for a little bit. He freely gave himself. We could say much more on all these points about the fact that Jesus was seen of angels after his resurrection, and we'll talk about that a little bit a little later on. But we noted that this great mystery of godliness includes us in all 6 points. So how does the fact that Jesus was seen of angels include us? We'll go to Hebrews 1:14. Hebrews 1:14. And that pretty much will summarize this fact. Hebrews 1:14, we've quoted from this verse already. The Apostle Paul writes there in Hebrews 1:14 that the angels of God, the angels God sends our way, are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Is that you? Rarely do we see these angels. And if you've seen one, would you recognize them? Maybe, maybe not. I know testimony meeting is poorly attended, but you hear some really good testimonies. And Michelle and John O'Dorcio recently were down in Scottsdale, Arizona, and she got up and testified about this. And for something to do, they were visiting an older couple. They went to a, I believe it was an art museum. You can ask Michelle about this. I think it was in Scottsdale area. And they're looking around, and they, you know, as you wander around, you go, oh, there's a piece of art. Oh, there's another piece of art. You look around and get separated, and she hears this thunk in the other room. The old man that they were with, it fell down. There wasn't hardly anybody in the museum. Michelle ran over because he was, you know, loud when he fell down. And what had happened is he's looking at this piece of art and backed up, and there was a stairway behind him. He hit a step and went down and hit his head and was bleeding profusely. And Michelle says, I got there, and there was already a lady there, holding him. And she says, I looked in her eyes. I never seen that color of blue. And you know how you look in somebody's eyes, you'll all be doing this during break. There's a little black ring around your eyes. She says, there was no black ring around the eyes. And then Michelle went and grabbed some paper towels, and somebody called 911, and Michelle cleaning the blood off. And she says that girl went down the stairs and just disappeared. She never seen her again. He was looking for her. So I asked her afterwards, you're saying you've seen an angel. She says, Ty, there was no black around her eyes. There's beautiful blue eyes, beautiful long hair, not one drop of blood on her anywhere, and there's blood everywhere. I says, you've seen an angel. I'm convinced of it too. Man, yeah, well, maybe you'd recognize an angel if you've seen one. They don't have a little sticker on them that says, hello, my name's Gabriel. I don't know how that works. The angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And we read in Psalms 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. So yes, we too indeed are seen of angels. I'll give you one more example. And you get a lot of tie up here today, I guess. When I was 10 years old, I was over in Nebraska visiting my grandma and grandpa who had a farm over there. I was there for 2 weeks. My mom and dad, my brother and sister, and I want to say this about my sister. This is her first camp since she was a teenager. And my whole family's up here. She is my whole family and left anymore. But all her family's up here this year. So they're very thankful. And but my sister was telling me recently, we were talking about this. And on the way over, Bill and Natalie, when you drive home, you go down I-25 and you hit Thompson River. And then you go up a hill, up that hill. On the right, there's a white barn. You'll be looking for it. It's still there. At the top of the hill, you don't see this anymore, but there's a railroad track. Back in the day, there was an I-25. That was 1960. Water truck, I think it was. It come from the north to the south with a drunk driver driving it. Hit the railroad tracks and he lost control. Swerved, and the highway there, which is the service road now, had a head-on collision with the car. It was in front of Mom and Dad, and they were towing a boat, my sister and brother in the car. Head-on collision. My dad laid on the brakes because he's towing the broke. And my sister says he saw hands pushing her car back. And the people in the car in front of us were killed in front of them. And as proof that there was an accident that they were kept from, toolbox fell off of that truck, slid down the highway, and smashed the license plate of our dad's car. So we don't know. They're ministering spirits. 91:11, Psalms. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Yes, indeed, we too are seen of angels. Let's take our break, 10 minutes or so, maybe a long 10 minutes, maybe-ish. It won't be less than that, then we'll finish this. Thank you.